It's so good to see you again. I was telling some of the folks, I'm so thankful that you're streaming these services. I look forward to being with you on Sunday nights and be. I'm just right here, you know, with you, and I'm so thankful. Tonight, I pray the Lord bless these services. As Gabe said, I started going through the book of Ephesians, and I got to looking at verse 10. That's where I'd like for us to look this evening. Our Lord had said in verse 9, He revealed that Almighty God, according to His good pleasure, to His delight, which He had purposed in Himself, He was pleased to make something known to His people. And here's what it was: the mystery of His will. Now that's a wonderful thought, that Almighty God would be pleased to make known to His people something that can only be revealed in the Scriptures. Almighty God is pleased to speak through His Word. That's how He speaks. Now, God at sundry times and in divers manner spoke unto us by the prophets, but He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And these Scriptures are the Word of God. Now, if you want to find the final authority on anything concerning God's will, God's purpose, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's salvation, if you want to go to the final authority, Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. You want to know the final word? It's God's word. This is it. The Scripture is where a believer is going to go for confirmation of truth. If you want to know if what your pastor is saying is so, you go to the Word of God. You listen to what He says, and then you check it out. And I've got Scripture on that. Acts 17:11 says, there was a group in Berea, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, all willingness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I'm telling you, you go to God's Word. You rest in God's Word. His Word is not going to return void. His Word going to stand. Heaven and earth going to pass away, but not His Word. His Word endures. His disciples were with Him, and they were traveled three and a half years with Him. And the Apostle Peter made this statement. John also, we were with him on Mount of Transfigurations. John said, we saw Him. Our hands touched Him. We looked on Him. We saw Him. But 2 Peter 1:19-21 says concerning the eyewitness accounts of the apostles, the ones that were there, the ones that saw him, the one that heard him. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:19, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. God wrote this. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Scriptures are a more sure witness and evidence, more sure than the eyewitness account of an apostle, to the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does God have to say? Well, Almighty God has been pleased to reveal something. And knowing that God's word is going to stand, here's what God has to say in His Scriptures back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Now, just to understand what the Apostle Paul was speaking about under the inspiration of God's Spirit, we need to understand what the word dispensation means. It means stewardship. Stewardship. The arrangement of the house. Keeping things in order. Bringing about that which is fit. Stewardship. That's what dispensation means. Look over at Ephesians 3:2. Paul the Apostle talked about a stewardship that was given him. And this word, dispensation, is used. Paul says a calling. This is a stewardship, a responsibility, a call. Paul says, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. That word dispensation. A lot of times we hear that word dispensation, we think it means like a period of time or something. It's just like a, you know, there was a dispensation of innocency, and then it was a dispensation of, you know, from the time of the fall to the giving of the law, and then it was a stewardship. Stewardship. That's what the word means. Stewardship. The arrangement of, the keeping of the house. So stewardship, that in the stewardship, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather in one all things, or that is all manner of things, in Christ, that which Christ was given the responsibility to answer for. He who was the surety for, that He might in the dispensation of the fullness of times gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. According to God's good pleasure, this is what God has revealed concerning a great mystery that the world knows nothing about. These scriptures are spiritually discerned. They're taught. The Spirit of God reveals to God's people the truth of Christ in these scriptures. A lot of people got a book. I heard the other day that the Bible was the number one bestseller ever. Everybody and their brother just about got a Bible. More Bibles sold than any other book. this book, this precious book, these holy scriptures, is a mystery revealed to God's people. Why, the disciples asked, why do you speak in parables? It said the Lord spoke in parables. Except in parables, he didn't speak. That's what scripture says. Why do you preach in parables? These proverbs. Have you ever read the proverbs? I've been trying to go through the proverbs now for 5 years. We're about verse by verse through the book of Proverbs. And I read those, and how often do I tell the folks in Fairmont? These proverbs, when you read them, a lot of times it'll read them, it's like the next verse is just completely separated from the next one, and it's just a different thought. And you read them, and you think, well, it appears as though to me it's good moral advice. You know, if that's all we see, we've missed it. We've missed Christ. The Lord said, concerning the scriptures, these are they that testify of me. If we don't see the gospel of God's free grace in Christ in the redemption of God's people, we missed it. It may be good advice, but we missed the gospel. The gospel is concerning Christ. Here we are. God is going to reveal something, a mystery. We're going to hear something revealed by the Lord God of heaven that this world doesn't know anything about. Revealed to God's people. Almighty God, according to his good pleasure, is going to, according to his stewardship, the Lord's stewardship, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when time shall be no more, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven and in earth, even in him. He's not going to gather together every individual person that was ever created. The scripture says in Romans 9:15, for he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he's going to, and here's the word, that word, he shall gather together. He's going to sum up and present as a whole in unity, in oneness, all things in Christ. Now, how easily we miss, you know, somebody would say he's going to gather all things that God ever created back into oneness. That's not what it says. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. In Christ is the key. Here's the great mystery. Both things in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Genesis chapter 1 reveals that God created the heaven and the earth. He made the ground, he made the seas, he made the celestial, he made the creatures of the sea, he made the creatures of the earth, and he made man. And this is what God said. It was very good. It was very good. I looked up that word, very, very good. Good. And here's what the word, I mean, look, it's in Strong's. Look it up. Vehemently. And I thought, vehemently. Totally. It was vehemently good. I can't even enter into the depth of that, what it means. It was very good. God said, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:3, reveals that all things were made, were caused to be by him. And without him was not anything made, not one thing made that was made. Revelation 4:11 says that the glorified saints praise the Lord, says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, for Thy will, for Your desire, they are and were created." Colossians 1:16, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven," that is the aerial heaven, the stars, you know, and the abode of the angels. All things created that are in heaven, all things in earth, and everything that the earth contains, visible and invisible. Those things we see, I read what Brother Henry said. He said, even the things we don't see, the souls of men that you don't see, the spirits of men that you can't see, things I can see and things I can't see. He made all things. They were created by Him and for Him, for His glory. Everything that was made for the glory of God. And He made everything, and everything that He made was very good. And it was unified. It was together. And everything that the Lord Jesus Christ that was made by Him was made for His glory and for the good of His people. This earth was created that the Lord Jesus Christ might in time come into this world. Made flesh, made of a woman, made under the law. This earth was made that the Lord Jesus Christ might come into this earth and display the glory of His mercy in the redemption of His people. You want to see mercy? He came into this world, humbled Himself. Heaven. He made all things. In the beginning was God. And He made heaven. The fullness of that statement, I wouldn't even want to go there, but I can tell you this. John 17:24 says, "Father, I will that those that Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory that You gave me. From before the foundation of the world, for You have ever loved me." Heaven, earth, all things were made by Him and for Him. And it was all very good. Something happened. Something that God eternally saw. That which God eternally knew. Sin entered into this world, into this creation, and never took God by surprise. God's never learned anything. Almighty God knows the end from the beginning. And in this very good creation, sin entered in. Entered into this garden where Almighty God had placed man and woman. And man fell in that garden. And man died spiritually in that garden. Genesis 2:16-17, "And the Lord who knew all things, who knew Adam would fall and saw Adam's fall, the lamb was slain because of Adam's fall from before the foundation of the world." And Almighty God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die." And he did. Everything that was created very good was corrupted Man, who in the creation had no shame, no guilt, but because of man's death, that guilt was manifested. Turn to Genesis. Turn over to Genesis chapter 2. All of this was very good. One, man had no guilt. He and his wife, Eve, the scripture says, before their fall, there was no shame. Look at Genesis 2:25. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Before the fall, there was no guilt. There was no shame. But Genesis 3:7 says this, after they ate, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. Oh, but where sin abounded. Romans 5:20 says, grace did much more abound. The scripture sets forth that unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins, clothe them. He came into the garden walking, and the scripture says that he called for Adam. Adam, where are you? He said, I hid myself. Why? Because I was naked. He said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat? Man was guilty. And the Lord clothed their nakedness. After they tried to clothe themselves, by their own ability, by their own thought, I'll just cover myself with fig leaves. And that'll hide my nakedness before God. And the Lord clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of animals. Oh, do we not behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ being put on? No provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. They tried to cover themselves. God was going to have to cover them. Here was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being set forth in type and figure as that lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But also we behold the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as a garment of holiness needed to cover our nakedness before God. Bless his holy name. It was the Lord himself in mercy that covered Adam and Eve. He must cover us. He must apply the blood. But where man's sin was found, enmity was now found between God and man. Look at Genesis 3:11-12. Now listen, here's what sin did. It caused enmity between God and mankind. Adam and Eve was mankind. Now enmity. Now listen to the words. Because of sin, listen to the words of the enmity. Now, this is causing separation. They're about to be separated. But listen to this enmity. Genesis 3:11-12. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And listen to this enmity. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He didn't say, I'm the blame. The woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. Oh, the enmity caused by sin. And then man, because of that enmity, was separated from God. Look at Genesis 3, 23:24. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Of mankind, the Lord hath made of one blood. Man was made in unity, in oneness. The Lord hath made of one blood, Adam's, all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. That's what Acts 17:26 says. Sin has wrought enmity and separated between man and God and between man and man. Look at Genesis 4:8. Cain and Abel. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Why? Sin. Separation. God made everything good. Oneness, unity. And now, because of sin, God Almighty has scattered mankind. Scattered. The reason that all mankind is scattered is because of sin. Man cannot be trusted to be together in unity. Man cannot be trusted. Look at Genesis 11:6-9. Let me show you what happens when men get together. Genesis 11:6-9. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon all the face of the earth. And they left off to build the city, and therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Men are all over this world and speak different languages because of sin. God made everything one, together, in unity, and because of sin, men are scattered, dispersed over all this earth, scattered according to God's eternal purpose. He was going to show mercy, though. All over this earth, in every kindred and tongue and tribe and people, God's got an elect. They're scattered because of sin. They're scattered because of rebellion. They're scattered because they will not have this man to rule over them, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Back in Ephesians 1. Almighty God, Jehovah, the Father, Father, Son, Spirit, and that eternal covenant of grace, from eternity, had an elect surety. He was God's elect. He was God's servant. And Almighty God, according to that everlasting covenant of grace, who would not let mankind perish. God loved the arrangement. God so loved the world. Everybody says that just proves God loves everybody. That's not what it said. God loves the arrangement. God loved this arrangement of mankind. I'm going to quote a scripture here. Bob, this is way over my head. You know, let us make man in our image. I've heard people try to explain that. Listen, don't try to explain away the glory of it. I don't understand the depth of it. Mankind made in God's image. Let us make man in our image. If it's made in the image of God, God loved it. And Almighty God was not going to allow the order of man to perish. And Almighty God, according to that everlasting covenant of grace, has a Savior, a surety. And that surety ever stood as the one who would account for and answer for and be responsible for. He would be the steward. I'll answer. If I bring them not back, you lay their death to my charge. Lay it to my charge. The steward. The scripture says, according to God's eternal covenant of grace, the steward came into this world, made of a woman, made under the law, made himself answerable for everyone that the Father had given him in that eternal covenant of grace and electing mercy and compassion. God chose a people. That's what Ephesians 1 says, verse 4, according he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Here is the steward's work that he's going to finish, that he did finish. Here's the work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The one that sent him, what did he do? He, before the foundation of the world, chose us in him. This was God's will, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children, to be adopted into the family of God. To be taken from, this is adoption, to be taken from one family, to be placed in another family, and being placed in this family, no more a part of that family. A new creature, created in holiness and righteousness, a new man that doesn't sin. I know the presence of sin is still with us, but it doesn't rule. Sin shall not have the dominion over you. I mean, we got two natures, an old man, new man, and they war one against the other. But there's coming a time we're going to be changed. This old man is going to be put off. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The Lord will. The steward will. The Savior will. Predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he's made us accepted in the beloved. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And now he's going to make this known to us. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that in the dispensation, according to the stewardship of the fullness of times, that which has been dispersed because of sin, scattered because of sin, Almighty God is going to gather them together. He's always said he was going to gather them together. The Old Testament, back in Nehemiah, I'll just read this to you. Nehemiah 1:9, this is what the Lord promised. But if ye turn unto me, if he turns us, we're going to turn. If you turn unto me, what he's commanded, he'll perform. If you turn unto me and keep my commandments, the Lord says, I've given them your word, and they've kept it. You know what his word is? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me. That you believe on the name of the one that's been sent. If you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. I'm going to gather you. Look at Isaiah 11, verse 12. God's always said he was going to gather his people. He's promised that in the prophet's word. Isaiah 11, verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and shall gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. All of them has been scattered. Ones that God scattered because of sin. We got exactly what we deserve. We deserve, Tony, to be separated. We deserve to be dispersed. We deserve. Oh, but in the dispensation of the fullness of time, Almighty God is gathering his elect. And this precious book right here is writing. Look at James 1:1. James 1:1. Listen to the word of the Lord to his people. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Listen to this word. Greetings. Greetings. Greetings to you. Look at 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, you that were scattered throughout all these places, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to this, you that are scattered, grace unto you. And peace be multiplied. Is that not the most tender thing you've ever read? Greetings. Greetings. Greetings to you. Remember, back in Ephesians 1, this dispensation was a stewardship. It was a given work to the Lord Jesus Christ. A work given him to finish. To accomplish. And John 17:4 says, he said, I've glorified, speaking to his Father in his high priestly prayer, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work that thou hast given me to do. For that reason he cried from the cross, it's finished. And now, according to that finished work, he came into this world. Made sin. He went to the cross. John 10:15, we were talking about that tonight, Caleb. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He died in particular for his elect. He died for God's chosen. This is his stewardship. To seek and to save that which is lost. And he's going to save all of them. I think about, Hebrews? I think about this precious passage. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, Hebrews 2, verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. This is the Father's will which has sent me. That all that he hath given me, I should lose none. None. This is his stewardship. His dispensation. He's gathering his people. And the scripture says in closing, When time shall be no more, in the fullness of times, that is the completion of times. When time is over, when Almighty God has called all of His sheep unto Himself, when all of them that the Father has ever given Him, all that the Father giveth me, they're going to come. And when He's come and saved all of them, there's going to come a time, I know this, there's going to be some redeemed and regenerated sheep that's still going to be here. Before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be some regenerated sheep that are still here. Because Paul the Apostle spoke of, you know, we which are here on this earth, we which remain, we're not going to prevent those that sleep. But I can tell you this, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, when time shall be no more, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The departed saints that are there with Him now are going to come back, and we're going to see them. We're going to be together again. Listen, look at 1 Thessalonians 3:13. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read a couple of verses out of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. We were scattered, dispersed, all over this world, all times, but when the fullness of times come, He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which in heaven, those things that are in heaven, the souls we just read of that are departed, but also reunited with His holy angels. I'll prove it. Matthew 25, verse 31, 34. Matthew 25. This is where when you make a statement, you back it up with the Word of God, Brother William, and that ends it. Matthew 25, verse 31, 34. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But I want you to also consider, look at Revelation 5, verse 11 to 14. Revelation 5, 11 to 14. And I beheld, and I heard the voice. This is John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos, writing as the Lord reveals to him the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the thrones, and the beast, and the elders. Now these elders, there's 24 elders, and it's the whole church of God, glorified church. Here's the whole church of God. And here's what he sees. I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, the cherubim. And the elders, And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. All of God's elect, all that were chosen out of the fallen race of Adam, all that were dispersed with all the rest of the world, God had a people, and they were everywhere in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And this stewardship that was given him was to gather together in one, in unity, all things in Christ. And Almighty God is going to gather together when all of it's over, everything in oneness together, in heaven and in earth. These glorious saints that have died, those that have yet to leave this world, are going to be together. I wrote this down. I was thinking about it. It says, "He shall gather together all which are on the earth." And I just jotted down Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Scott. Scott. All these dear saints, God's going to gather them together. And all his elect angels, these angels, ministering spirits that minister to us who are heirs of salvation, these ministering spirits that look into this glorious redemption and wonder at it, these glorious angels that God Almighty created for his honor, for his glory, and for the good of his people, he's going to gather back together all things in earth and all things in heaven, all in one. That's a great mystery. But Almighty God's been pleased to reveal that to his people. May the Lord bless these words for his glory and our good.